You guys ready?
Ready.
One, two, three, four.
Shoulders.
You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 185 of another Woodshop podcast, where this week we're joined by the queen of the hustle in the maker community. She's not only an artist, a maker, and a woodworker, but she's also an established podcaster that's going to show us how to finally do it right. Not to mention, she's the person behind some of your favorite brands in the makerspace. She rarely comes out during the day, but if you catch her at night, she's probably carving. Tiff Marchand from Night Carver Designs, also known as Tiffany Buto.
Ooh, you got it right too.
What's up, Tiff?
You know, just hanging out, having fun.
What's your name?
Full transparency. We did bring you on just so you could show us how to actually do a podcast. Yeah,
when does this make money? Like, when do we?
I am still figuring that out, you know, slowly getting there, you know.
It's the hustle.
You know, it is hard to ask for money for a podcast, though. Like, money, that's my problem. No, seriously. Like, I've gotten more and more comfortable just saying, like, send a gift, though no one has yet, but one day they will. Some money if you want.
It's also really hard for us to ask for money. So anyways, our patrons, Dan.
Yeah, let's talk about our patrons and asking for money. Money, please.
So we can keep the lights on.
The patrons, mm-hmm. We say this almost every week, but the patrons literally keep the lights on. And I added new light to my repertoire. So
literally adding lights every week.
So thank you, patrons. We didn't get any new patrons this week, which is fine, I guess. But we do want to shout out all of the VIP patrons, as we always do. And in no particular order, they are Justin from Fraser Canyon Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcraft, Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, Nick Brim Woodworking, Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines, Bill Burkle from WTB Woodworking, Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Justin at Cavalry Customs, Patrick Ginsel, Michael Flickinger, Scott Shirk from Red Leg Custom Woodworks, Max and Mindy Coons of Stubby K Studio, and Jacob Miller from A Sweet Shop. Thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you to all of our patrons. If you want to join the Meh Army, as we lovingly call it, you can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get joined up over there. Nothing is expected, but if you could help us out, that would be very much appreciated.
We're like the Santa, the Salvation Army Santa. Like, every little bit helps. And some of it is going to go to alcohol.
And lot of people are annoyed by us. Why don't you go away?
Out of my way.
Here's a nickel. Shut up.
That is a very sexy crowd of people right there. And speaking of sexy crowds, I do want to mention our sponsor this week, who our guest is loosely associated with.
Slightly.
It's Workbench Con, where we get to see the sexiest of crowds in that awesome lobby in Atlanta.
So, and it's coming up fast.
It's, dude, super like fast. Less than 2 months. And not only that, today we're giving away the ticket. We're going to actually give it away
because
it's a little out of order.
Now you tell me?
Yeah, you got to pick a guy or gal or whatever. You know, so pick somebody.
I'm going to pick a lizard and you can't stop me.
What we're going to do is we're going to pick the person during the pre-show, which this week is the post-show. So we're actually recording out of order and we're going to pick them live.
They wouldn't have known that if you wouldn't have told them.
Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to pick it live. So everyone in the pre-show is going to be all excited.
It's all about being transparent, Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
Oh, right.
But we are so excited to
have more translucent.
One extra person at WorkbenchCon. It's going to be a hell of an event. We love going there every year. You really get a lot out of it. You know, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week. We're really going to lean into it this week. As Tiff is one of the people behind WorkbenchCon.
Question.
Man, high five.
Question. The website it says WorkbenchCon is starting on February 29th. That's a fake day. There's only 28 days in February.
Actually, are you trying to pull the wool over my eyes? Website, to be honest, which I actually have to tell Kristen about that. But yeah, 29th.
It's a leap year.
It is a leap year. Special.
That's a joke we made last year too.
So are you telling me that the next Workbench Con is going to be 4 years from now?
Well, this year's Workbench Con is one day longer. You're welcome. Yes, that's right.
I mean, it really kind of is. Pete
likes to make up stuff on that spot.
People though show up like two days. Oh no,
we make it longer.
Lately.
Yes,
it's getting
we
crazy.
Do.
It's so funny.
Year one, Dan stayed till Monday and was like, "I'm bored out of my mind. There's no one here."
I did. What? That was two years ago.
Yeah, when you're
remember how I was talking about?
Tough.
I joke on the podcast. Just about happened. One year I booked my hotel until Monday morning, and I forgot that Workbench Con stops on a Saturday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just stayed in my, room all day Sunday in my underwear and ordered Taco Bell through DoorDash. It was great.
Didn't they deliver it to the front of the hotel?
They delivered it on the curb. Yeah, it was awesome.
Took a photo. But anyways, aside from the blunders that Dan has made, it's one of the most fun events. If you go in with, like we said last week, with the right questions, right attitude, you can take away so much knowledge from this event. You can learn so much, and not just from the classes, which there's a whole plethora of. Every single day, there's four different time slots, right? Or three time slots.
Three different time slots. There's usually like slots. Four to five classes going all at once.
Yeah, it's great. And you not only that, but the conversations you have inside the main hall, inside the lobby, just hanging out with everyone, you get to pick people's brains one-on-one, and it's incredible. And just getting a lot of the information from these colleagues of ours, like these mm-hmm. other makers that are crushing in this community, you get to see them on the same level that we're all at. And it's really exciting to like almost like humanize your heroes and see like, wow, they can do it. I can do it. It's not like this some grandiose, crazy thing like Brad or whoever, like they're just doing it them. It's just one person or just two people. So they really show you how to get all this done. You can learn a ton. It's a ton of fun. And Tiff's going to talk more a little bit later about it. We're going to have like a whole little Workbench Con segment of why it's worth it.
I mean, that's the biggest question.
Yeah. Why should I go? Because it's fun.
Or should I go? I think it's probably the biggest one. Like,
oh, right.
You know what I mean? Should I? I think it's important though, like making those choices, but we'll get into that when you guys want to get into that.
Yeah.
If I had unlimited vacation time and like funds to burn, I'd go to every event.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones in Texas,
the ones I don't get invited to, just show up.
I just show up like, hi, Sedge. I know. I'm just here to watch.
I was actually the women's one that I just had. Yeah. I'm like, I just want to go hang out with the ladies after they finish building that.
I'm going to be honest. I wanted to go to that woman's.
Yeah, me too.
I could have put on a wig.
I just wanted to host it and interview them while they were debuilding. I was like, that would be so fun.
That would be fun.
Well, next year, you got to just
figure
your way in there.
You hear that, guys?
Let's do an all men's, Pete.
Yeah, all men's get together?
I think that would go over well.
Yeah.
I don't think it would.
That will not have any backlash, Dan.
Not at all. We get canceled. It'd be great.
Well, speaking of great things, Tiff, we have you on here for a reason. So please tell us, who the hell do you think you are?
Amazing. That's what I'm going to start with. No.
Humble.
Humble as fuck. We can swear here, right?
Sure.
One adult zone. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure. Can we go explict? No. I am a awesome mom of two who is just out here trying to live a very unusual life and trying to follow this crazy content creation journey. I recently quit my job last year. Well, 2 years ago almost now. Look at that. And I'm just trying to survive this without it because that job was driving me nuts. So it's kind of me in the shell. I'm an artist. And honestly, I would love to spend the whole day painting, but that doesn't pay the bills. So I manage a lot of different accounts and really heavy into the maker world. So as you guys mentioned, too, I love to podcast as well. So I don't know. I like to talk.
Nice. That's great because that works out well here.
It does.
We also like to talk.
Good.
But this is the first time ever we've actually had a time constraint because we're like, oh, we got a live in 2 hours. We got to get going on that.
Pressure.
Well, that's awesome. So, I mean, Tiff, I love your content. I love who you are. We met you a couple years ago. I think actually the first time we met was at Workbench Con.
In person, I think.
Possibly. Were you there that first year of COVID at Maker Camp? Were you there?
Yes.
So we may have loosely met. Then,
I've seen Tiff at Maker Camp just about every year we've been there, I think.
Three times.
There you go. So when we met that first Workbench Con 2 years ago, I was like, whoa, like she's a hustler. She's killing it. I think you're planning to go full time. There was some talk of you like maybe working more with Kristen with Workbench Con at the time. And you're the reason why my wife, Emma, works with the business now, because we saw what you were doing and we're like, whoa, like this can be done. Like she's hustling. She's like helping out other makers, other brands. She's getting into all these different spaces. Like you can do that and like support a family. Like, you know, we think 9 to 5, 9 to 5, you got to do the thing. And I still do it, but like we're able to like retire Emma, have her come on and help with the business, run her own business. And you're a huge inspiration for that. So I do want to thank you for
that. That's awesome. Aww. No, that I know I was bullshitting with who I am and stuff, but that just melts my heart though. Seriously.
Listen, so great.
I am paycheck to paycheck, just so everyone knows, and struggling. You know, I'm not making money.
I think
money
most of us are.
Yet. We're going to keep with
this
that.
This is a podcast.
Yet.
Lie.
The power of yet. My kids talk about this at school all the time. I love
it. Power of yet.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. It's like so empowering for them. It's like, you don't know how to do this yet. So right now I am paycheck to paycheck, but honestly, I'm feeling good about this year. This year is very scary though, because I'm trying to do the thing I quit my job for that I don't really talk about, but it happens to, as we were saying, my kids are on the spectrum and I'm working on something for people who are on the spectrum to help make their lives a little easier.
That's great.
That's the reason I quit my job originally, but then I needed to pay the bills. So I had to find a way to support my family while I went on that journey, while I learned how to use this laser behind me. So, which I'm not a huge laser person. I know that's going to hurt Pete.
Amen.
Well, I never.
I'm so sorry. I think I need like a real basic one. I just, the CO2 laser, there's just so many little things that can make it not work perfect that I just don't like.
Oh.
I'm also not a machine person. So
you
it's
are a
tough
machine.
One.
You're a carver.
I'm a machine. I like to
not
do
a
everything
CNC-er.
Manually. Yeah, I mean, I do CNC. I'm a CNC fan. Laser, though, it's all right. Once I get it down, one day, my product is a laser product.
So you got to figure it out. Or outsource it.
I'm going to outsource.
I know a guy.
Hey.
Okay. Hey.
We'll talk later.
If you don't mind, I want to... I'm going to push my way in here.
Oh,
if you don't mind, I'd like to take a step back and talk about how you got involved with Workbench Con. Yep. Could you like give us the loosey-goosey breakdown of what happened there and how you got involved?
I suffer greatly from imposter syndrome. So to go to Workbench Con, it was very intimidating, but I really, really wanted to go. I wanted to be part of that crowd. I had the podcast going, Behind the Maker podcast, and I'm like, there's my in. I'm a podcaster. Now I know there's a million of us, right, that all want to go to Workbench Con for free because we have a maker podcast. That's the dream. Hey, look, guys, we did it. Good job.
It's not for free.
You have to work. No, you have to work. Yeah. It is. It's a barter. And that's the thing. So how I got in the door is because I'm very much like Peter's wife, where I'm going to write a very long, well-written email outlining all the gaps that I could fill, what my plan is going to be, and how I could help bring Workbench Con to that next level. And I kind of attacked the one thing they were doing really, really badly. And I say they, it's only one person who runs Workbench Con. So she was doing it all by herself, but she wasn't posting. So Kristen wasn't posting on their website or like on their Facebook and Instagram. And it was just dormant. And it was 2 weeks away. By the time I finally got in the door and I got the yes, just so you guys know, it was like that close to the wire. But wow. I started off in like November, like pitching her. And she was like, oh, that sounds interesting. We met like once, pitched again. And then I finally got the green light of the yes. And I asked her, because we were so close, can I take over the account now rather than doing an Instagram takeover? Because that was my pitch. I was going to do an Instagram takeover. I was going to be there going live all the time, doing interviews, filming behind the scenes things, and really just bringing the makers into the world, creating that FOMO. If you didn't go this year, I'm going to get you to go next year because you're going to see how amazing this experience is. and the fact that I am a maker, I've been one since I was a child, like, you know, I'd bring that. So that gave me that empowerment to think like, okay, I do belong here. So that's kind of how I got in the door. I started working the account 2 weeks early. I did the whole account like while we were there, the takeover. And then I was like, Kristen, there's just so much activity. People keep posting. I'm like, and you're going to miss all of these travel home stories, all these cool recaps that are happening right now. Like, we need to be sharing these.
Yes.
This has to be known that people had such an amazing time that they can't stop talking about it, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, let me just work the account for one more week. And then I was like, let's have a meeting after that week and let's chat. So that's what we ended up doing. And then she brought me on the team, and I've just kind of been cementing myself with so many different aspects in WorkbenchCon now that it's really pretty cool. I've always loved event planning. So like to have that as part of something that I do now, it's really fun because it is an event and it's all makers. It's education, which I love that this community is really open about sharing things. So to help put the people in place that I think that are going to really help the community out is really cool.
That's awesome.
That's how I got so involved. I kept pushing.
It's called
attrition. You came with a plan as well.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Very nice.
And I worked free for that week, you know, or actually those 3 weeks. I worked for free.
And just then to prove that you were a valuable asset.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, let me just do this. Like, and then I'm like, then we'll talk about pay afterwards. Like, she paid us to do the workbench, you know, but like afterwards it was like, I'm just going to work for free. I'm just going to show you the value I can bring. And then let's talk money later. Like, and
that's a great approach.
Pre-sale. The pre-sale went amazing. Like, there was like, all right, let's do this, you know? So and then here we are.
Yeah.
Because you guys usually drop the pre-sale like the week after.
Yeah, that was my idea. Like, let's just get them now while they're still in it.
while everybody's still like raging.
I'm from a marketing and advertising background. You know, you got to jump in while the iron's hot.
Right. I like it.
Just riding.
Yeah. FOMO is usually pretty heavy that following week. Like, oh man, that all looks so great. I want to be there next year.
Mm-hmm. Smart. And then you drop the price so low that you can't like resist. It's like, oh
yeah, yeah. That was like, oh man, we got
$400. I know they're going to be almost $700. So like, it's like,
wait, like me and Dan were thinking about doing, like, we were going to get tickets right away. And they were like, no, like we're either going to teach a class or we're going to figure out a way to provide value. Like, mm-hmm. Let's figure it out. Let's like, we're big old boys now. We need to like figure this out how we can like, we're
big in size.
We're gonna do something, because we were going to do, like, we're talking about doing an Etsy class or some kind of like
which you definitely should manufacturing. Next year. That'd be cool.
Perhaps.
Little, I mean,
Pete and I always talk about like, we don't like to go to these events with homework.
Yeah, I get it. That's the thing. That's nice, most people's things, is they don't want to like have that pressure to like while they're there, because they just want to enjoy it, which I get.
I would love to teach an online, you know, shop or Etsy class or whatever, but. Yeah,
we do pre-Zoom classes, Dan.
I don't know.
You have to get them to be a like, that was.
Can I get ChatGPT to write my whole curriculum?
They can help.
Just an AI.
My wife's a teacher. She could probably do it.
Honey, help.
I got my wife to help.
This true? Mm.
It only took asking 1,000 times.
Maybe 2025, Dan will teach an Etsy class.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to talk. I want to jump in here because we kind of talked about the following week. WorkbenchCon, and we'll backtrack back to WorkbenchCon. But the week after, that FOMO, that excitement, that energy, I cannot recommend enough. Whatever you're planning up until WorkbenchCon, allocate the next week after to be no projects. Mm-hmm. And I mean that because you're going to come back on fire.
I wish I could.
You're going to want to, like, if you can, obviously.
I'm going to come back buried. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, because that's the problem. Like, most of us come back and we're like, got to get caught up on orders, got to do this, got to do that. Like, if you can come back with free time to then engage on the impulses you have and the things you've learned and actually research some of it, you're going to get ahead so much further. Because, like, the first week, I was, like, super busy. Like, yeah, I still got the thing. I got my notes. And then by, like, week two or three, I was like, where was I last month? Like, you lose that energy. So you want to, if you have any ability to schedule some time for yourself afterwards, highly recommend it, because you are going to do amazing things with that energy.
I think that's a great tip, though. Like, you're going to be hungover, not just from if you drink or not drink. Just
knowledge hangovers.
Yeah, no, I don't drink. I was so hungover, like so hungover. And then you lose your voice because all you were doing was chatting the entire time. So
I don't think any drinking happens there.
No,
no, no.
I've never seen any drinking.
A lot of chamomile tea. Early to bed.
I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
We have such a good time, but
give me a blast.
We'll get back to WorkbenchCon. I want to hear about some of the other stuff that Tiff is doing, because you're the main star of the show, and like you're
sometimes involved... you're just Tiff.
It's true.
Yes, it's not Shape or Sean.
I've got a really nice compliment at Maker Camp. I gotta say, somebody said that to me, that like, I know you represent two different brands and then yourself, and like you haven't lost yourself in the mix. And they're like applauding me. They're like, I don't know how you haven't yet.
Very easy to do.
But
makers that are the brand. I'm a workaholic. They're the face.
Yeah. It's hard for me not to be that. Like, I've been.
So what other brands are you representing? Like, who else are you?
So I represent Sabretooth as well. And then I have a couple other irons in the fire that I might represent as well. Because again, I want to make sure I can support my family. But that's the problem. I keep getting distracted by other jobs and not focusing on me as much. But I am, to the heart, I'm an artist. Like, that's what I want to be the most. I would just love to just paint all day and not represent all the brands. But again, until I can get to that point, I'm having a great time representing the brands. But I love making pop culture and horror-themed art. I love using the CNC. I'm going to one day love using the laser. But I get the most joy if I'm painting or if I'm power carving. Like, the CNC was only purchased because I used to hand router signs, and my back and my neck would be killing me. Plus, I had babies at the time, too, when I was doing it. Like, my kids were, like, 1 year old, and I'm out there power carving at night, you know, going back in the house.
Oh, Night Carver, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm so clever with my name. But seriously, I'd be carving outside at night, and like with the baby monitor. I saw somebody the other day, like, you know, I'm a dad, and he had like the baby monitor on his headphones. And I'm like, that was me. I used to have the monitor in the corner while the kids were sleeping. I'd run outside and woodwork, run in the house, shower quickly. And then I'd have, they were both like had colic and stuff like that. So they ended up sleeping on me all night. So I was hurting. My whole body was sore from like, you know, day job sitting in a desk chair, carving at night with kids all night on me. It was madness. So that's what brought the CNC. Like, my dad actually forced me. He's like, just go buy a CNC. Just do it. I'm like, all right. I know, but it's like, it's those things, like I told you earlier, my fear of the laser is just, I'm not a person who likes to tinker with things. I don't enjoy taking things apart and putting them back together. So bringing machines in, I'm like,
it's a learning curve too.
I can relate.
Like,
to
I'm
that.
A designer. I went to school for fine art and graphic design. Like, that's what I have my degree in. So like, my biggest tools, I mean, I love power tools. Like, I grew up using scroll saws and drills and all that fun stuff, but you know, machines. But I gotta say the Onefinity, will give them a shout out. They're awesome. I've worked with them, and they actually gave me my CNC because I hated my X carve so much. So that was one of the
things. We like Onefinity here.
They're awesome. Yeah. I made some content for them and stuff, and they've been so supportive, and I love working with them too. So whenever I can, I try to do a collab with them. Whenever, like, we did one at Maker Camp with them recently, which was a ton of
fun. Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you guys were there when I got my
sign. I was in the video.
Real clapping. Yes. Real clapping.
That was legit cheering.
My face was so red in that video. It had me dying because I had just finished like full mask on with carving out in a muddy field. And then we're all like, woo.
Oh, Dan, that's the definition of the crowd goes mild. Because you were confused.
Oh, no. I went full out cheering. I don't know. Go back and watch that video. I can't remember who posted it.
It was hilarious. I think it was Morgan.
I gave it my all.
Yeah, we're shaking babies, kissing hands. We're very excited.
You're out there in the community doing good.
Trying.
Yeah. Doing the Lord's work, fake clapping. I mean, it wasn't fake clapping. It was an actual like, yeah, because you got the thing.
It was great.
No, I think we were just walking by and they're like, hey, we need you to just cheer.
It was like the comedy shows in New York. And they're like, you want to see a comedy show? We need bodies.
Yes. It was fun, though.
2-drink minimum at Onefinity, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I want to just, I honestly want to make more sculptures. This year, I spent so much time doing saber-tooth power carving challenges that were, and I was supposed to do something crazy to motivate others to join in, which I think sometimes scared people from joining in because they saw what I was making and they're like, I'm not going to carve a 3-foot-tall doll. Like, what the hell?
Cowards.
Is that the picture?
The bride of Chucky?
Yeah, the picture that Pete used to promote on Instagram page. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I made a Mario Brothers themed like piranha plant this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw that. That was awesome.
I made
a bunch of those like poles.
The tiki poles. Tiki that's kind of what really kicked off me wanting to go 3-dimensional because I started with some more relief carving. And then I made the big donut that I just finished up. And then the Beetlejuice carving. So I really like I made, I'd say, good 4 3-dimensional carvings this year. So I would love to dip in there and experiment with that more. Do you guys know Blake from BM Sculptures?
Yeah.
He does some beautiful things. His epoxy carvings.
He was on, I don't know if you ever watched it, Making It? Making It.
With That's Amy where I Poehler saw him first.
Nick Offerman.
Oh, the actual show, not the podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think I did.
He does some incredible stuff. And he's like... He went he was on a show. He does his own carving. He's like,
is that the guy that did the bowl carving of the felt house weave? No. Okay.
He did was it like a lion or something?
There was a whale that he did at Workbench Con that he actually brought. Like it was there. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Dan, you met him.
My memory is terrible.
Super tall, real handsome, like 12 out of 10, would date again. Yeah.
I probably
did. Ex-baseball player. Yeah.
Ex-baseball player. That's right. He was an athlete. Yep.
I
interviewed him once. I can give you stats.
Ex-baseball player. That rings a bell.
Does that help you out? Yeah.
He's also
I'm not seeing a face, but I remember that for some reason.
I give him credit because he actually did something recently. I'm going to jump into Maker News. Not even recently. It's in the last 6 months. Because he figured out how to use like a small fridge to cure like a foot of epoxy. Because epoxy gets really hot as it cures. He figured out how to use a fridge to actually cure like large sections of it at the same time. And then he would carve them out afterwards. So he's getting no layer lines. He's doing just straight, clean
deep pores. Yeah.
It's insane. And he actually, he did have an accident where he opened it up and like was like burning stuff.
Burned his eyebrows and face off. Because he sprayed foam inside it and then he closed it too fast.
What is this guy's account name?
BM Sculpture.
Sculptures.
BM Sculptures, huh?
Yeah, he did something that no one's ever done before. That's the thing. No one's ever poured epoxy that thick. Actually,
I saw him. Yes, he did do the bowl with the felt house weave.
Oh, that was him. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I saw Evan and Caitlin when they do their yearly pumpkin in resin thing. They actually got the same fridge. They tried to do it, and he helped them out with it.
Oh, yes. Yes, that thing is awesome.
Yes. Okay, that's...
I didn't know what the felt house weave was.
You said
I'll be honest.
Bowl. Yeah. I thought you said bowl. So I was
assuming.
Is felt house weave a cutting board term?
It's a weave that was designed and created by the Instagram account Felt House Woodworks.
Johann von Felthaus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just a really cool design.
He's become famous for like like real nice like plaid pattern, but made fully out of wood.
Nice.
That's cool.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
I miss the.
Why don't we have him on the podcast? We should have him on.
Here you go.
We should. We dedicated a whole segment to Blake.
Yeah.
Why stop?
This week in Blake.
No, but it is. He's very talented. But yeah, so like he definitely inspired me to go 3-dimensional. Like I would pick his brain, like with the foam carving and things like that. So I might experiment with that a little bit more, might play with a little bit more of epoxy. I don't want to carve like he does. Like he has to wear a full white suit and like, that's intense. Like, I don't want that.
A lot of epoxy.
I'll pour some epoxy on top of it afterwards. But yeah.
A lot of work.
It is.
So, would you ever like chainsaw carve or like go bigger?
So I recently emailed Still, and I'm trying to get a chainsaw so bad. And I might go after a few other ones. Yeah, I want that cannon bar with the dime bar. I'm ready. I've been studying it for years. That's
I don't know
problem.
What any of those words mean, but it sounds great.
The dime bar tip is
no one knows
small,
what it means.
Tiny little
it's evocative. It gets the people going.
If you guys have ever seen those little tiny baby chainsaws with a tiny little bar. That's what I really want.
Okay. Yes, I have
seen
those.
That's the detail saw. Like, that's when you get all the tiny little details.
They're specifically made for Carmi.
Yeah, it's by a brand name, Canon. Believe me, I'm going to try to email them next. Really? But first, I need the chainsaw.
Well, I like
you're not talking about the little chainsaws you can attach to like a drill that you get on Temu.
No, it's a real chainsaw. Yeah, I know. not that.
That's the thing. I've gotten emails about like, try our product and make whatever, you know, and it's just like some random off brand battery powered like mini chainsaw that's handheld.
That just looks sketchy.
You can barely cut through a branch.
I think Brad Rodriguez showed one of those before, and
he did.
Looks real safe.
Videos,
yeah,
it doesn't look good.
No,
it doesn't.
Look good. That's cool. I cannot
recommend.
To see I would. I don't have the space, but I would love to.
Was there a
damn it? You make the space.
I do. I have a whole acre of land. I mean, I can.
That's the thing. You have the property.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I got plenty of land. Yeah.
You need like a lean-to, like instead
that's
of a
what
blacksmithing
I want.
Shop. Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Well, you got all that space. Might as well make a lean-3.
I want
to.
The dream is to build out a nice shop in the backyard and then put a nice lean-to in the other, because like that way I have a place to go carve out there, chainsaw carve, and just like, you know, avoid the heat with a nice shade. It's beautiful. So,
sounds great.
That's nice. The dream.
Yeah, you got a nice bit of property there. I remember you were doing some like landscaping about a year ago or so.
So much landscaping. It never ends.
Because you're on the water 14. Too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. I'm in the middle of like well, the edge of the city. I'm in one of the world's deadliest cities, so I don't know if it's the dream, but
you're in Camden, New Jersey?
Right. Springfield.
Gary, Indiana.
Okay, it's not that bad, I guess. No, I'm in Massachusetts, but no, I'm not in like the greatest city, but I'm on the edge and I have like this acre of land that goes out to a really nice pond, and it's just so peaceful. I like have this little tiny like it's like amazing. One of those places like I'm like, I could never move. If I move, I have to have a body of water to be looking at, because now I'm spoiled. Like for 14 years, I wake up to geese landing in the water.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful.
That actually sounds so nice.
It is.
Sounds
it's
amazing.
Peaceful.
That's the thing. You can't
make or meet up at Tiff's place.
I actually do want to have one. Yes. In May. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm on
board.
I'm
serious. In May.
That's my arm.
Perfect.
Right. Actually, May is the perfect month for some kind of meetup, because
late May. I could do late May.
Late May. No, late May for real. May.
Because like
my wife's a teacher, my kids get out of school, it'd be perfect.
There's a couple things in the summer, but it's like it's real hot in July.
That's, I'm saying I'm not a heat person. Yeah. May is
and some of them are like they're in Austin or Texas. I'm like, I'm not going to Texas in August. It's way too hot.
No, I actually I gotta see if I don't think I need a permit, but like people can camp in the backyard. I don't care, go for it, you know? Yeah. Cause I think it'd be fun. I've been saying it for 2 years now, and my husband like fully supports it. So you heard it here. New England makers make out.
We're gonna have to keep her hands to the fire here. I like this.
No, it's gonna happen.
Much excite. Right. I'm stoked for that.
It's gonna be hosted by another Woodshop podcast. You guys have to do two lives.
Our influence.
Just joking.
Okay.
We can't even get ourselves to record like a live podcast wherever we go, because we're just like no homework, no mics. Yeah. Let's just hang out.
I did record two episodes at Workbench that time too. So yeah, there was mics and everything involved.
What was the podcast that was recording nonstop at Workbench Con?
Tinker. They're coming back this year too.
I forget. I'm blanking on the name and I feel terrible.
It's Tinker something.
But
Tinker
like,
Taylor Soldier.
The Makers
they have like
the Tavern.
Nonstop recordings.
Yeah. They're going to be doing it again this year. They're going to be recording in the main ballroom this time.
Yeah, I do like, by. You know what?
Just what stop buying, hop on.
Would like put it in perspective for me, for someone who like goes with like a semi-commitment, like not a brand with a booth, because then you're kind of at that booth all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, watching Dave, 3D DIY Dave,
scanning
and like he'd
people.
Be walking around and he'd be like, oh, I got to go. It's 2:00. I got to go scan people. And he'd be there for a couple hours or whatever. It wasn't as bad as like the
I
first
gave him
year
a schedule.
Or two at Maker Camp. Good. I'm glad you did that, because otherwise he would just be there.
I know
all day.
My friend.
He's too
listen,
nice to say no.
I want
to
make sure that you. Well, I learned. So it's important thing that you're saying right now for any makers listening, though. If you are going to work events, like make sure that you do make a real schedule and you schedule in breaks. Like I have seen too many people do like what I was doing, power carving and stuff. And then they don't give them any kind of like stopping point because people are just going to keep coming and they're just going to keep wanting like to learn, which is great. But you can't physically make it through the day without taking like
you need breaks.
A midday 2 hour break. And that's what I do. I'm like, I was real upfront with Sabretooth. I'm like, because they came this year and last year they didn't. So I was like straight up the only person in charge, you know, and I was like, kind of dictate my thing. But this time they're
keep
there.
This in mind.
Yeah,
if I do an Etsy class in 2025, I'm going to need a 2 hour nap break.
In the middle of the class.
You only have to teach one class, Dan. It's going to be okay.
Just so you know.
Unless you want to just be an expert desk where all you got to do is a lunch sesh. It's real informal.
How much does it cost to just set up one of those booths where we just put a banner up and walk away? No one has to be at it.
You know, it's funny. That is totally an option.
But wait, I'm gonna hijack the podcast for about 30 seconds because I was doing a story the other day about taking breaks after the holidays because some of you little whippersnappers didn't take a damn break over the holidays and you're all burnt out now. You look like you aged 3 years. So for the love of God, take the weekend. It's after Christmas. Relax a little bit. You don't like get some of you have families, whatever, it's been busy. Just relax. I know it's January. It's not holidays anymore. Just take a day. Some of you guys really look like you need it. No offense to anyone out there, but like, take a break. Anyways, back to your regular schedule.
No, you're good. I took 2 days. I didn't post January 1st and 2nd.
I did take some time off. I did take some time off. It hurt me in the long run, but dang it, I took some time off.
You need it.
Good for you.
Which is why I'm still trying to get out of my hole.
I was to say, because you have all these orders piling up, right? Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's the only problem. It's so different. Like, yeah,
I share my orders and my numbers with Pete on the regular, and he can verify that I am not making it up.
Brings a tear to my eye. Like I didn't have to say it this time. He was like, I might have to raise prices. I'm like, yes, please. I'm just tired of saying it because I don't want him to.
Just
like,
today, I said himself. That to you.
Yeah, exactly. And like, here's the thing. I'm all for the hustle. I'm all for that. But I've become really big on mental health and not burning out because I personally burn out. Like I burned out on content over the holidays. Like I was so busy with orders.
Yeah.
I've done 2 reels in 2 months.
Good for you though. Like what pays you more, you know, anyways.
Whatever.
Too.
Like it's that was the focus of the season and it's hard to do everything. And I just didn't want to burn out. So guys, take care of yourselves. I love you all. And I want you guys to be around for a long time. And I want to see you at Workbench. Huh? See what I did there?
No, it's good points. Honestly.
Ew.
I worked so hard this year with like hosting 4 contests, like 4 challenges. So that's 4 months that I was just dedicating to constant content for those things while working on a big project with a hard deadline. And that's on top of anything else going on in life. So you can easily burn out. So I think that's a great message to everybody.
And that's like schedule your time off. Like that's perfect. That's what made me think of it. Because you said like, I scheduled his breaks. That's perfect. You should schedule breaks. You should be like, hey, after 3 p.m. on Sunday, I'm not allowed to work.
Yeah.
Like just relax, hang out with the family or play video games. Who cares? Take a nap.
I colored today.
You know what?
That's it was good times. Yeah, it was nice.
I have never enjoyed that.
Coloring? Oh.
My wife and daughter love that. They get the adult coloring books. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so tedious. Wait. I don't like it.
This broke my brain the other day. So I'm in Florida and my brother-in-law has 2 kids. So he's got a 7-year-old, so they're 5, 7, whatever. He's somewhere young age, stole a lot of energy. And then an infant. So like I was babysitting, changing diapers. Yeah, that was fun. he was like great. But the older one, he like would like, I want to color, whatever, Ant-Man. And my brother-in-law just went on his phone, just like, coloring book, Ant-Man, and just printed the page. And I'm like, you can do that now. We have the technology.
I've been doing that for my kids for years.
I know, so but fun. I don't have kids. I didn't know that. And I was just like, if I just want to like color Batman, I can just print it out. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I love this country.
I used to do that all the time with my kids when they were super little.
I hosted a pumpkin carving party here recently, and I invited some friends over with their kids. And I asked all the kids, what do you want to carve? And then my friends are like, are you really going to go print special templates for them right now? I'm like, why not? I'm like, give me 10 minutes. I'll be right back. You know?
Don't test me.
Yeah, exactly.
I love
that. Oh, no, I have to go downstairs and look up some cool stuff real quick. Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, So good. We kind of got off the track here, but
yeah, that happens.
So you covered your
brand. It happens here a lot.
You covered your what you do. Is there anything else that you take on that's behind the scenes that you might want to talk about?
You know, I'm trying to really get into YouTube. That's been a big focus. Yes.
Preach, girl.
So I have two videos that I'm working on editing. I just haven't had time because I've been constantly on the go with these things. So The Bride of Chucky, I did record everything so I could make a YouTube video for. And then I went extra hard on this donut. And I actually talked to the camera and stuff through it.
Ooh, talking head? Mm-hmm, scandalous.
Mm-hmm. So I do have to edit those, but I do. I want to, you know, my focus for Night Carver is going to be, I'm going to be a YouTuber rather than an Instagrammer, because this year was all about getting the tools I needed for my shop. And the best way I know how to do that to get them in exchange, barter, I'm not going to say the word free, is to pitch them with a really good idea of how I could advertise their tool and get their tool out there. And they did really well. I did some for Craig. I did some for I got Bora. I worked with over 30 brands this year. Like even more than 30 brands. Yes.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like,
that's more than me and Dan combined.
My media
four times
looks
over.
Ridiculous. I put all the logos on it. I'm like, this looks stupid. Like, it's like so many. But like, things are expensive in the maker world. And when you are a paycheck to paycheck person and you really want to grow your business, we have the power, if you have good engagement and you pitch things properly, to be able to get the things that we need for our shop. So now that my shop is, you know, it's good. It's not, you know, there might be something I go after. I'm really going to try to calm down on my brand work and really focus on YouTube this year and teaching. I'm power carving this weekend. I've got a sold out power carving class in Vermont. So I'm just going to be trying to like hop from makerspace to makerspace and teach. I feel like I need to concentrate more on local things and instead of like just all over the place, you know? So I'm trying to readjust my focus this
year. How'd you land that power carving class?
I Char actually introduced me to the people and to the concept. So she was there teaching Rosie's kids. It was a really cool thing that she was doing. And I'm like, okay, Char's an hour away from me. I got to go see her. And that's Char from the Wooden Maven. If you guys
don't
know.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. So I drove up there. We ended up like having this crazy dinner and chatting away. And she, of course, you know, Tiff's an amazing power carver. You got to have her up here teaching classes. Like, talked me up. And, you know, and then, that wasn't the thing that got me there. I followed up, you know, like, I think that's one of the biggest things. If we're going to talk about working with brands, I know that's something that you guys were interested in talking about is the follow-up game, like getting your foot in the door, pitching a really good idea, and then continuously following up on things, because they're so busy. They've got a lot of people coming at them and you got to show that you're serious about that. So, you know, I followed up. I did one class already. That went well. It didn't sell out. This one sold out really quickly. So that was great. And then I have it scheduled for once a month. So I know that's a little bit of income coming in for me. And there's a few other maker spaces I've been visiting and checking out is, you know, another way to make some money and do something that I love. So
that's awesome. And you know, I love having you on because you are like, people forget that there's a person on the other side of the conversation when you're like, hey, I'm a whatever, I have 100,000 followers. My audience would like to see your stuff. Can I have a free blah, blah, blah? You know, like that's you got to provide some. We've talked about this for the last 4 years on here. Like, provide some value back. Be like, hey, I think my audience could benefit from this. I have a project that's coming up. That's this. I think it'd be a great collaboration. If you guys are interested, I'd love to hop on a call or let me know how we can help or how I can help.
Exactly. Pitch your ideas.
What's my value?
Don't come to them empty-handed.
Because like you're not, oftentimes you're not even talking to like the person that makes the decision. You're talking to.
We have to bring them to that person.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you don't have to then upsell, like, oh, so there's this guy Dan, and he's like,
do the work for the middleman, such as Tiff or the middle.
I'm totally the middleman. No, seriously though, I am.
You'd be like, read this message, right?
Yeah.
And I think even when we pitch the idea. Just being a little transparent here, when we pitched the idea for Workbench Con tickets, I believe your response was, thank you for laying everything out because it helps me greatly.
Because we gave you options. We said, hey, here's our metrics. Right. Here's what we're willing to provide. We'll work with this. We'll do that. And we can give away this. So like, I wanted to take all, especially knowing that you were on the opposite end of that email, made the email both harder and easier to write because I was like, I'm talking to a person now. This is not a blanket statement that I have to just toss out there. And I think that's a good way to think about it. Think of like, what if you're on the other side of that, or a friend of yours that maybe works for a marketing company or something, like you have to pitch them the idea because it humanizes that brand and it makes you like a lot, you know, more, you really try to provide a value. You really try to give them something. And I actually, so what I'm trying to get at here, you told me a story a couple of weeks ago when we were talking on the phone about how you reached out to a pretty large brand and how you hit him with something that was like a paradigm shift for them. And they were like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. I'd love for you to talk about that.
What could you be talking about?
I don't know.
No, absolutely. Well, speaking of like Char and you know, Alma and all of them, they've been friends of Carhartt for years. And it's been really cool seeing how well like Carhartt treats everybody. And they really support the maker world. But one thing I noticed is there wasn't a plus size lady represented. And I was very blunt with my pitch to them that I could bring that audience in because I don't think a lot of people even knew that Carhartt actually catered to plus size women with their clothing, but they weren't showing it off. Like there's this whole plus size line that nobody even knows about. And I'm like, why not just like have somebody in the community represent that? And when I brought it up to them, they were so receptive about it. Like I really appreciated it because they were just like, no, you're right. And let's fix this. And I love that you came to us with that. And like, they were so excited and it's been crazy. Like I started that in July, like becoming a friend of Carhartt, and they put me in a campaign in December where like I'm on the Carhartt page right now. If you go there, there's a commercial of me on Facebook that's going around right now. That's, you know, it's like
so cool.
It's so crazy. I'm like, that's nuts.
Remember
like,
us when you get to Hollywood.
But that's not my goal list, Dan.
So you said you sent them a blunt email. That doesn't mean you were like, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Let's fix it. You were kind about it, right?
Listen, turds.
Exactly. No. And that's the thing is like, whenever I email people, when I find a gap, I don't just say like, hey, you're doing this horribly. I pitch how they could do it better. And I give concrete ideas of how we could do that better. You know,
I love that term when you see a gap.
Yes.
That you
the can, store.
No, no, but like you see a gap in their market, like, hey, you're not really touching this niche. I represent it. Boom. That's
yeah, a great exactly. Message. Yeah. It works out so well. Like the Bora miter saw stand that I needed, you know, same thing. Like, where are the women using this? Like, where is this? Like, you just got to find what they're not using. Or how can I show this off better? Like, my garage, my whole year, like I was saying, is about making my garage better. I had a 7-foot long, ugly MDF miter saw station that I hated. It was so hard to move and this, that, like, so that changed my life by having this little compact foldable thing now. You know, I was able to bring some more tools in. Sadly, I had to get rid of some too to make room, but like I've had to rearrange my life. Yeah, exactly. Now I want them back. but it's those things that you find, like, how can I advertise this for you in a different way? Like that's important. How can I help you fill a gap that is needed and reach a market that, you know, that you aren't reaching? I did the same thing for Sabretooth with their scroll saw kit. I was like, there's so many scroll saw artists that are just using drums, just little sanding drums to do all their shaping, where if they just took one of these burrs and put it on the wood, their lives would change. And that's our most popular selling kit is the scroll saw kit. We went from having no scroll saw artists who were using Sabretooth to that's one of the main people. It's like chainsaw artists and scroll saw artists, which very diverse group.
So you're talking about like shaping the pieces after they've been cut out.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like CNC people can do it. You know, people who use lasers. Like that's why I was like the target market. And in my commercial that I made for, I'm like, this is great if you do your scroll saw, CNC, laser, any kind of tiny pieces to shape, because that was a whole market that we were missing out on.
Yeah. Hmm. I feel like I do see a lot more artists actually using like some kind of
actual carbide burrs. Tool,
carving away at, like a lot of the sign makers that,
yes,
because you don't think like, you know, they scroll saw, but then they round over everything. If you look up close on those things,
mm-hmm,
a lot of work goes into it.
There's so many hours into those things. And like, I come from a sign making background. Like, that's what I started off doing for now 8 years. I was selling those, and I was selling all kinds of other stuff before. I was a cake decorator for a while, at home bakery business. Like, I've been through some changes. When I had kids, I stopped doing the bakery. Though, I couldn't do cake deadlines with two children. It was no.
Did you do wedding cakes by chance?
I did a couple wedding cakes, not too many. It was mostly birthdays, because wedding cakes are too intimidating. I don't want to be responsible for that day.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And crazy brides.
I think you get away with more on like the seventh birthday party.
Exactly. Like, give me that soccer ball.
Biggest
cake
day of our life.
Yeah, exactly.
You want Spider-Man? I got you.
I did get a cool cupcake order where the knife that they were going to cut it with was a little saw. That was pretty awesome. Nice. Oh.
That's nice.
But yes. Like that. Yeah.
Well, we're not that we're running out of time yet, but I kind of want to hear. So last week was our 2023 Wrapped episode, because all the apps were doing the Wrapped, like, oh, you listened to this much of Taylor Swift. You know, so we
did I share my Spotify Wrapped with you?
It's the same thing for everyone. It's 2023. Oh. It's the year of Taylor Swift. Let's be real. Yeah. Come on.
Not this girl, but all right.
Okay. This girl and Dan. So we, you know, we talked about our goals from like from the year before. I actually went back, and I always, every year now, I put down our goals in the show notes.
I love
so
it.
I can just look it up.
That's
the following year
and be, yeah, like,
oh, so we like, we failed at all these, but I did the one. I did the one. That's cool. So Dan and I both had like a lot of wins and then a lot of like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. YouTube. Whoops. That's right. Crazy. So what was like, I would love to hear like some goals that you had for last year that maybe you didn't achieve, and some that you did achieve. And then what's your big thing for this year?
Well, for sure, it's not getting my product launched, like my whole brand new company. I did buy a banner that's in my garage. Yet.
Power of yet.
Yet. But
the power of yet.
I did go through the prototyping phase. I did do all the artwork, all the tweaks, all the designs. I've got it just about ready there. So I'm trying to learn to give myself grace, as they all say.
Can you give us a hint on what this new brand company idea is?
I can give you a little hint. Again, the problem is it's so easily, like, you could replicate it. Like, not to the what level I have, because I'm so close to the subject. But so when your kids are autistic, they struggle with transitioning from one activity to the next activity. So this is going to help them with those transitions. I'm also writing a children's book too to go with this.
I'm
going to be a published author next year, or this year.
Yeah, that's baby. Nice. Your tip is, yes, killing it.
I have a lot of, but see, that's the thing. I have so many freaking ideas. It's so hard. Like, I wish there was another me. Like, I really do.
I'm so super hard. Interested in that first idea, because my wife, mm-hmm, is a teacher, but she's a special ed teacher. So she deals, oh, okay, with a lot of that.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you after. Like, I don't mind, yes, being a little bit freer afterwards. Yeah. But like, nice, it's something like I bonded with, like, I've shared a little bit of this with some makers, like Anne of All Trades. Like, her and I like almost had a crying session about the topic, you know, because, wow, she struggles with that for herself, of just transitioning from things and, you know, keeping her day together. So like, I think it's going to be something that's going to help a lot of people, touch a lot of people's hearts. And dude, I hope a lot of people will be behind interested. It to help me kick it off when it's ready.
Super cool.
Pete, I'll be coming at you too for making it with me.
I got you, girl.
But like, I want to have makers help me make it. Like, that's the original plan. I talked to distributors this year. Like, I've been through the process of of trying to get it to market. I just haven't had, number one, the funds, which, I mean, I could go to the bank. I do have some money in there, but I pretend I don't.
It's fun when the shop has its own funds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to use my personal money that I have for a rainy day, but I might tap into it just to get the trademarking. Because, man, just that one thing is just so hard. Like, it's just that barrier of like throwing cash at stuff. But like, I did so much work on this. So that's the thing, like, I thought I'd have by now going. But I feel like it's going to happen this year. So that's like one of the big goals too. There's a lot of goals, but I don't write any of them down. They're all just in my head, which is probably a bad thing.
It's just goal soup in your head.
It is. It is. What if I come down here sometimes, I'm like, what should I work on? today.
Remember, I got a bit of a potato and some carrots. Is that ham?
Yeah, seriously, though. I do have like 10 notepads in front of me. They just have no like concrete plan. That's another thing. I'm going to make a nice planner for content creating.
They're all over my desk.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm like, this is my Workbench Con notebook. This is my Sabretooth notebook. This is my TIFF notebook.
So, like, I have one list and another list and then some more lists.
I've talked about this before, totally. I have like random notes here. Like, I'm almost done with this list. So I pulled it out.
I got a whole book of notes.
I'm sure everyone else is like looking at their table right now.
Like, ah, damn, she got me.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
Me. Me too.
These are my CNC speed notes. I have these for my laser, you know, like.
I have speed really notes on one sheet and then I feed notes on the other.
Keep it separate.
Oh God, I love that.
Yeah.
But is there something that like you're really proud of last year? That like you hit the goal, or it's something that you didn't even like,
I made it through the year. So, honestly, it was my very first year from beginning to end being self-employed.
Oh, I love that.
That's worth something. Honestly, that's worth something. I love it.
Like I made it, like I'm like, you know, there's those days where you're like, should I just get a job, like a job again? And I ponder it. My husband's like, I will not let you. But then he hates his job. So you're like, one of us be happy. He's like, just so he's like, but you know what I mean? Like that is what I'm most proud of, as I survived the year. Like, seriously.
I understand.
Thanks. Dan understands. Yeah.
Yes.
It was scary. Like in June, I quit my job the year before, you know, and I'm like, what did I just do? I worked at this job for 16 years. Like 16 years is a long time to
preach. Happier.
Oh, I hated
that.
I
remember talking with you about it.
I used to cry every day.
I've been self-employed since 2011. And every year,
so awesome,
I celebrate that.
You should.
Because
Dan,
every year that you make it through that is something worth celebrating. Huge. I mean, it's huge.
Listen,
you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You don't know where the next thing is going to come from. You are living week to week, unless you're like some mega millionaire.
Money in the world every month.
The Carhartt campaign, literally, like when they were like, hi, we're going to offer you a paid campaign. I was like, and then they told me, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. God, we're going to be good for December and January.
Yeah.
Like, holy
crap. You can eat meat this month.
Seriously. Yes. So it's like, oh my God. Like, we're going to be okay for at least another month. Like, and this is a hard month because I'm taking a week long vacation. Like, and I've been working my ass off pre-planning all of that content these last few weeks. If you've noticed, like Workbench stuff is like so beautifully outlined. I'm just like, and now I'm going to post this one and now this one, you know, because I've been working so hard to make January as smooth as possible, knowing that I'm going to have a week away where I'm not making any money. So it's like,
Also, February is there's a week and a half at least. I know it's a 3-day event, but like Workbench Con is like a week of you can't focus.
Oh yeah. it's prior
and after.
Y'all are keeping me busy, which is great. Yeah. Like, you know, people are starting to already get that excitement now that I've been like, I started last week with a countdown. I'm like, it's time to do a countdown. So I'm nine weeks. And then like I posted that 8 weeks, and usually this stuff doesn't get like that many likes. It's got like 100-something likes right now. It's got like 30 comments. People are like, let's go. We are 2 months away. I'm like, all right, guys. Like,
can't believe how quickly it snuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. It's right around the corner. What's the big goal for this year? What's something you want to definitely hit? Or that doesn't have to be a big goal. It could be a
YouTube
goal
videos. Getting those YouTube videos out. And then I'm actually really pushing hard on YouTube because I also committed to Sabretooth to make one video a month for them.
You actually have to keep deadlines.
I have to be a YouTube maker this year because I have 3 videos that I've already promised to Sabretooth where I'm going to be teaching people how to do very easy beginner carving projects, like from start to finish.
Oh, good.
And it's all stuff that I've never done, but it's stuff that I see that people are selling like at craft fairs and things that I think that would really sell. Like the first thing is a propagation station. Like, you know, you see people making those all the time and they're really pretty if you have like a nice slab of wood and you can do really cool carving on it. So I'm going to start with that and kind of like ease my way into it. But like I've set aside 10 hours each month to do that.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. That almost seems like it's not going to be enough because
it's a tight deadline.
There's so much work that goes into YouTube videos. I don't think people realize that who don't do YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's an insane amount of time because the editing itself, I feel like
it's a lot.
Take almost 30-40 hours a week.
For sure. And they're not going to be that technical. Like, I'm not going to add little characters popping up and stuff, but I'm going to teach you how to start a project and get it to the end goal.
Well,
that is going to hopefully make you money. You know what I mean? So that's the goal for Sabretooth.
I like it. That's like one of my goals too. So I respect it.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm pushing myself really hard on YouTube because I want to monetize and I want to make some money here. Like I can see it. I go to Workbench and I see these people who are doing it well. And I'm like, it's time. I'm like,
right.
I'm way funnier than them. That's
that's actually, I'm funnier like than Brad from Fix This Build Slabber. That
I can give him some pointers.
That's actually
something. That's actually something I wanted to bring up in the Maker News if we ever get to that, because somebody released a video like what's the word I'm looking for, where he
breakdown
makes a list, a breakdown. Making, I do a podcast list, professionally.
Checking it twice.
Yeah, he breaks down his YouTube income, and I think it's a great video, and it's kind of motivating.
Super open about that.
Yeah,
I had Joseph Gerber on my podcast recently.
Oh, I follow him. He's great.
Oh yeah, and he broke down everything that he was making, like when reels were popping off like crazy. He filled in everybody on the income that he was making and why he did certain.
He probably did pretty well. He's got a lot of good reels out there.
Yeah, so good. He made bank during that time. I mean, obviously, it all went away.
Right.
So then he had to find income.
Crazy how fast that went away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I talked about that last week, about how I used that extra money to bring on an employee. And then they just like pulled the rug out. And I was like, oh, God, now I got to get rid of the employee.
That hurts.
Oh, it was painful. It was painful.
Yeah, because that just relieving something off of your back, like that's just huge. So,
yeah.
I would love, like, if I ever was to actually make my own product, I would hire somebody just so you do my laser. I don't want to do that. I just want to be painting. I don't want to press buttons.
I mean, it's always nice to have an employee if you could.
Oh, God. I mean, I'll never, not never, but.
I had Emma running the laser today while I was, like, working my day job.
I saw that. I was like,
oh, my God, is this happening? This is good. We're getting there.
Kayla, my wife, my loving wife, I love her so much. She keeps asking me if there's anything she can go in the shop and do. And I'm like, sweetheart, I love you, but no.
Let her out, Dan.
It's a lot of a learning.
I love my wife, but she's not that type of person.
My husband has zero interest in any of this stuff. Zero.
Yeah. I have a bad feeling that she's going to get hurt really bad. And it's just, I'm going to feel awful and just, so I can't deal with that.
You're more scared of, a possible injury. Okay.
I mean... For goodness sakes, my brother came over this past weekend.
God, that's right.
Look, my brother came over and he's very familiar with power tools and all the tools that I use. He actually has a little shop at his place, and he's got a CNC and all that. But he wanted to come over. He wanted my help with some miter cuts and stuff. And he was sanding, and just he had his hand on the sander. So like I have the Mercus, so it's got the paddle switch. Mm-hmm. And he had his hand on the paddle switch and didn't realize it. My brother's also hearing impaired, so he didn't hear it running, and he grazed the side of his finger and put a huge gash in his finger.
I've done that a couple of times this week
because it was hurts. Spinning real fast. I could just see my wife doing that,
trying to get those little areas when you're sanding. Seriously,
yeah. It'll get you.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, even an experienced person can do something like that. So I'm afraid to have my wife out there.
You know what's funny is when me and Emma were having a conversation about her coming on, she's like, I just don't want to like be sanding. And I'm like, I will not make you sand. I'll never make you sand. I will never make you sand. She volunteered. So it's a loophole. I'm okay with it. But like she helps out. Like sometimes when we're like, we have to pre-sand a sheet before it goes in a laser, or like sand some pieces afterwards, or like a tabletop or whatever. And like, she's willing to help, and it makes a huge difference. It's not a big thing, but like that's half hour to an hour of a task that I don't have to do.
Pre-sand the sheet before it goes in the laser? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So actually, quick little.
See, I don't know jack about lasers, and I have one.
Even sanding your sheet before you get it in a laser can improve your cut quality.
Well, I'll be damned. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I learned something today.
Mm-hmm. Because it breaks the grain.
Mental note.
Apparently, because you don't have as much like fuzz that's lifted, you get all that removed, so it's cutting right at the material. It's not getting dispersed by hitting
Nice.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Wood. Okay.
It's not a huge difference, but it can mean a difference between like a clean cut and like a lot more of a smoky cut.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, also, when it's done, you pull it off. As long as you have good air assist, you pull it off. You maybe do a gentle sand on the back to remove the like the fog marks, and you're done.
Huh.
It saves you time.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can make my product.
Mental note.
Got you. All right, well, we're kind of running out of time.
Did you want to ask me workbench questions before we go?
Or you know, I feel like we got into the workbench. So let's have a quick workbench con segment.
If you want, you don't have to.
Let's finish with that. But okay. I want to ask the question.
We can get to all our other things next week.
Well, no, Tomas has a question.
We have a question. Yes.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we don't need to, nobody cares about what's on my bench or
nobody cares. Everybody knows what's on my bench.
So Tomas, our favorite Frenchman, called in with a question for Tiff. He says, hey, guys, I couldn't record a voicemail, but I still have a question for Tiff. Please, Pete, can you use your best French accent? Of course. Tiff and you guys, carving wood makes a lot of dust. What are your three best tips to deal with dust and to keep it from going everywhere in your shop? Thanks. Bye. Ta-na-ta-na-ta-na-na.
I love it.
To do the pauses for when I hear it because I used to do the same thing. When
you should
I
be like,
to the States.
How you
translate
say...
words in my head as I was speaking. Hama, I love you so much.
You did a good job.
I mean, it's an important question. And I got to say, like,
I mean, you deal with like shavings, not just like dust.
Well, no, it's dust. It's all powder. And it goes everywhere.
Oh, so, you don't get as many like flakes when you're carving? Mm-mm.
No, only that's like on a CNC you do. You get actual, like, you know, they say if you see chips flying, that's a better sign than just dust. But when with power carving, it is powder and it goes everywhere. So the only thing I have for dust collection, and it's made a huge difference. Oh, again, one of the brands I worked with this year, I did an infomercial for them, Oneida. Yeah. I use their benchtop dust collector, and that pulls away all of the really fine, super dangerous dust that you could inhale and stuff. And it lets all the other dust kind of just drop down in front of you, which is really cool. But if I'm using like a die grinder or an angle grinder, it kicks off a ton of dust. So it will catch a good portion of it, but the rest is going to go where it goes. Cause you know, so my biggest tip is to carve outside when you can. Number one, I know it's logical.
Tough to do in the winter.
Super tough. Yeah. And I can't, I'm carving so bad. Like I have like a little space heater on the ground. I'm going to blow up one day. Like I need a Mr. Cool. That's one of the goals.
But even that, you got to like, really
you
got to
build a filter box around
it.
It's annoying.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. The J Bates filter box.
Yeah.
Or something similar.
I just check mine every 2 weeks because I haven't had the time.
Out of paranoia.
I just like, I check it. It's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, carving outside if you can. If not, getting like that benchtop dust collector is definitely going to help you. Mullet just came out with an arm that you can extend over yourself. Right. So, I mean, I'd feel horrible. Like I worked with Oneida. Like I would love to have the mullet arm and the Oneida going all at once, but then I have to have a shop vac going. Like that's so loud and annoying. I don't have a
shop
fancy shop.
So
back.
Loud.
Yeah, so, it's the worst.
Another. I don't power carve, but I think a very good thing to have in your shop if you're power carving with all the doors closed and stuff because of the winter.
I am.
Is one of those giant air filters to put in your shop. Like Pete and I have the Laguna.
Yeah, I need to get one.
What is that thing called? The Laguna.
It's an air cleaner.
Whatever. Air cleaner. Yeah.
Air cleaner.
It's an air cleaner.
Rubber, yeah.
Yeah. You can buy one or you can make it out of a box fan. I mean, those
if I ever
really
like
well.
I'm grinding something, I'm sanding a lot, and I'm not using dust collection for whatever reason. If I see a fog in the air, I turn that thing on in 10 minutes, no fog, completely cleaned out. So
cool.
It definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, I need to get something like that.
I have two questions.
We just got another question come in the email.
What? Ridiculous.
It's from Kimani.
Oh, Kimani. It's voicemail. We'll make it quick. But the do you ever use any kind of like shield to try to catch the dust, like a spray shelter?
That's be my other recommendation. I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to do like a figure eight. So put like curtains around my CNC to keep it from getting dust on it because I get dust all over my CNC. I've actually had to get like a new controller box because too much dust has gotten into my CNC. Yeah. I've had to be like, Sarah, hey, Onefinity. Hi.
I've had to replace one of mine and they were kind like, enough to send me a new one.
They did.
That's like a tent without one side.
Okay.
I literally never use it. I got it from Subaru. If you want it for carving to carve into,
you have to send me a photo. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
And then Cecilia from the shop wood design, she literally surrounds herself with like a shower curtain that she has attached to the ceiling. So that way it all just falls down, you know? She protects her whole shop from getting dirty. Just
a murder room.
Yeah, it is. No, she calls it her kill room, her Dexter kill room. Like Mary Lou just recently put one around her CNC, and I'm like, oh, I'm like so inspired to it. Like put some tracks up on the ceiling and
for my CNCs that. After I ruined the one controller, I mounted my controller boxes up underneath the bench. So
that's smart.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't have the button on top. Yeah, but that's the only, you have to like kick it with your foot or something or disconnect the power. But that's the only downside. Otherwise I would have like tucked it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Things you learn after you have a CNC for a while.
So that was one thing. And then the other thing, do you think people can get away with like the box fan with the square filter on it? Do you think that'll do enough?
If something's better than nothing, enough, right?
I do agree with something's better than nothing. Honestly, I used to do the vacuum hose taped to or clamped to the desk. And that's how I would carve. And like, that is so like, it helps, but it's not enough because it's always on that small little angle that you got to carve towards it.
And we're back. Now, Tiff just had a weird hiccup with the audio, but yeah, anything is better than
nothing.
With
the power of editing, nobody will know.
No, anything is better than nothing. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, a little bit helps. And by the way, we can just run right up until the pre-show or post-show. We'll just go right into it after this. But we actually have a question from Kamani. And I think, you know what, because we're going to have a live audience, why don't we talk about WorkbenchCon in a pre-show or post-show?
Sure.
Changing a name. And then that way everyone gets like a nice one-on-one with you and they can ask you questions about it.
I'm totally with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me pull up this question from Kimini Von Strayhorn. I think I'm saying that right.
Hey everybody, it's Kimani. Hey Tiff, how you doing? I got two questions for you. First question, you carve a lot of awesome things. So first question is, what's the largest thing you've currently carved, or what's the largest thing you like want to carve? And question two is, I know part of the reason for you getting a laser was a special project for your kids or like, you know, learning and development and stuff like that. How's that project going? Thanks. Huh. Bye.
Aww,
it's like he knew what we were talking about.
I mean, great question, but you actually answered both of them, which is amazing. So, Kamani, thank you for
writing
that.
Please see the previous parts of the podcast.
Just listen back in case you skipped the part that matched your audio.
But yes, Tiffany, 3 foot tall Bride of Chucky is the tallest, biggest thing that I've carved.
And project is in progress.
It's in progress. It's getting there.
I love it. So, okay, so we got a couple minutes. We'll just go right into the pre-show afterwards. We got a few minutes left. So let's ask you some stuff about WorkbenchCon real quick.
Sure.
First of all, who was WorkbenchCon for?
It's honestly for the person who wants to grow their business. So somebody who has entered this field, they've been dipping into content creation for a while, and they really want to go to that next level. Like, I truly do believe that that's the core audience. It's not for the ones that have been established and have been there. Those are the ones that are there to teach you. Like, they're going to be there sharing how they got to where they are. WorkbenchCon is built to bring in that fresh talent and help guide them to be where they need to be. Or if you've already been doing this for a long time and you're finding that you're getting no traction and you need help, it's for you too. Like, I feel like everybody can benefit. We're really trying to bring in some higher level classes too for those seasoned people. Like, those are the harder audience to please, right? Because they're like, well, I don't need the classes anymore. I've been here already. We're really trying to put the ones that we think they would really enjoy in there and actually benefit from. So we're trying to have like tiered levels of education, but definitely the core audience is the ones that are really trying to bring their level to that next, you know, business to the next level.
I love that. I think, and you're right, I think that what you guys are trying to focus on, that next tier to jump you up to the next level.
We're trying. It's hard.
It's not, because like, yes, you can benefit a lot from it if you're new to the space or you're trying to grow in a space, but there's nothing more dangerous, and I've talked about this so much, of like the trap of like your max, where you have the illusion of, I am at my max. I cannot take on any more work. I can't scale to the next level. And it's the quote I keep bringing up like the last couple months. It's the, we're afraid of the work that the next level of our success is going to bring on. Mm-hmm. And that's the people that can really, really see the growth going to this event, I think, because you're going, you know, going from like zero to 50. Awesome. Great growth. You're excited. You're going to be overworked.
Yeah.
You're going to put in a lot of hours and you're going to be very tired and you're going to feel like at some point you're no longer growing. The classes that really blow your mind and the conversations that blow your mind, I feel like take you to the next level. You go like, oh, I should just stop doing this thing that doesn't make me money and doesn't make me happy. Let me focus on this thing that's going to grow me to the next level.
Mm-hmm. I think you find avenues that you never knew existed.
Yes, exactly.
Like, yes.
That's what I think is the most exciting part. You know, it's like, oh, I could make money that way, or I could do it this way, or
feet. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know. That's like the biggest topic for all of us who are like, should I get a job or should I just sell photos of my feet? I don't know. You know, it's tough.
I think
when I leave WorkbenchCon, that's kind of what I look back on. Like, oh, not the feet pics, but the
a regular job is the biggest motivator to just keep going. Because you're like, well, I can get a job any day. I'll bag groceries or ShopRite. I don't care.
The avenues to make other streams of income.
Yes,
exactly.
No, it's true. I went to Workbench and I went to all of the classes and my mind was blown. I'm like, okay, I had all these notes. I talked to so many people out in like networking and just like brainstorming. Because when I went there, I didn't have any social media jobs. I was no one's social media director. And I left there determined that I was going to pitch not only WorkbenchCon, but also Sabretooth, that they needed somebody too. Because I had heard that the person had stopped posting like 3 months ago and I knew there was a gap there. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I really need to reach out to Sabretooth. I gotta push for it. I think it'd be great. I think we'd be a really cool pair. And like talking to people gave me the motivation to do that, you know? So I didn't go there thinking I'd be, you know, leaving with two jobs, but I ended up doing that, you know, like, but it took a while. Like I had to keep pushing both Workbench and Sabretooth.
It's like you have one job. It's you being a creative, but then you have all these gigs.
Gigs. No, you're right. I was telling somebody that I almost gave away one of the people I was trying to pitch. I was telling blah, blah, blah that earlier. But I like being a contract employee. Like I'm not officially tied to anything. I'm a contract employee at Workbench. I'm a contract employee at Sabretooth. Each month I have a brand new contract and I get to pitch new things that we're going to try at Sabretooth. Like it's ever changing, but it's also scary because like my pay can fluctuate. Like Dan was saying, I don't know what my pay is going to be like for this month or the next month. Exactly. You know, only some things are certain. I know I'm going to get paid from Workbench, but I don't know what's going to happen at Sabretooth each month. So
I love the fact that your first Workbench Con experience was, so most people go to Workbench Con and they're thinking about ways to pitch to the brands that are there. And you were like, nah, I'm going to pitch to the
actual conference. I want Big Daddy Workbench Con. Let's go.
I did.
That is thinking outside of the box, though. I love it.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, you just, like I said, you see those places that you think you could fulfill. Like I have, at my old job, it was a big corporate job. I ran a committee called the Celebrate Us Committee, where I would throw functions for 300 people every month, like fundraisers, parties, this, that. So I'm like, oh, I've done that before. That was fun. I enjoyed that part of life. I'm like, let's try it at a bigger scale with the maker community, which I already love. I know who's good at this. I know who's good at that. I could get the right people into the positions that are going to help build this community and not keep it. Because like you guys know, it's intimidating to go into a room and it's only the big top dogs that you've been seeing for years. Right. And there's no one that you feel like you're an equal to. And I really stressed hard like last year about bringing in all kinds of different talents, people that people don't know, that I thought were going to hit the right mark for those classes. So like this year is just the same thing. It's trying to bring all different levels of people, all different kinds of brand representatives, and try to nourish each person. I think one of the most important classes for me is the product development classes. Like, I'm trying to launch a new product. There's going to be a class about that. You know, I'm going to go to that class. Like it's silly not to. So I know we're running out of time. My biggest tip for people is to look at the schedule and pre-plan what classes that are going to be important. Now the schedule's not out yet. And I know I say that, look at the schedule, but it'll be out soon. We've just had a couple of brands come in that might take some class spaces and we might have to shift everything around. So we're trying
Teach classes.
Yeah. We've got some brands coming and teaching classes.
That's different. Yeah.
I like that.
Like Total Boat always does it. We had Oneida do a dust collection talk last year. This year, Total Boat's going to have two different classes, which is going to be really
Total Boat usually just does like live demonstrations.
We do a lot of demos too.
Yeah, we're changing classes, it up this year.
I like it.
Yeah, we're giving Jimmy a really cool nook for him to experiment all day.
He's not going to teach us how to epoxy a dead rat or anything like that.
I'm such a jerk, guys. There's not one photo, and there will never be any photos or videos of that project on Workbench Cons because I just avoided it. I walked by and I'm like, not going to film that dead rat. And I'm like, keep moving.
Panning up.
Exactly. I'm like, sorry.
You don't know
Jimmy.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Go hunt it down somewhere.
Go to Workbench Con.
Yeah. If you want to see the dead rat that's been casting some epoxy, you can probably find it on Total Boat's page. But yeah, I was like, seriously, I did like pan up.
I love that you actively avoided it.
I did. But we actually are going to give him a corner, and we were actually pondering calling it like the rat's nest or something.
There's going to be a carny up front, like collecting a ticket. You go through the curtain and go, just Jimmy. Okay.
No, there should be some cool things for sure that are going to be happening that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. So I'm excited for that.
Very cool.
We're going to wrap it and just dump ourselves right into the pre-show because, of course, we're going to be chatting the whole night. Guys, thank you for joining us. This is going to be a great episode and also going to be a great pre-show or post-show. So if you want to see what else Tiff says about WorkbenchCon, make sure to check out youtube.com. Next Wednesday is going to be available to everyone. By this Sunday, it'll be live to all of our patrons. You'll be able to watch the YouTube video, and it's going to be a great pre/post show. So, and if you're a patron, you can also get the pre-show as an audio podcast dropped to your podcast.
Hold right.
What's up, Dan? Oh, sorry.
I was like, good job.
Your podcast hole. Yeah. So anyways, thank you for joining us. We love you all. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Love you long time.